dressed in the peasant children who ran about chattering when they came to pick strawberries or raspberries. Often, when the children had picked their pails full or had gathered long strings of berries threaded on straws, they would sit down to rest near the little fir. "Oh, isn't it a nice little tree?" they would say. "It's the baby of the woods." The little tree didn't like their remarks at all. Next year, it shot up a long joint of new growth, and the following year another joint, still longer. You can always tell how old a fir tree is by counting the number of joints it has. "I wish I were a grown-up tree like my comrades," the little tree sighed. "Then I could stretch out my branches and see from my top what the world is like. The birds would make me their nesting place, and when the wind blew, I could bow back and forth with all the great trees." It took no pleasure in the sunshine nor in the birds. The glowing clouds that sailed overhead at sunrise and sunset meant nothing to it. In winter, when the snow lay sparkling on the ground, a hare would often come hopping along and jump right over the little tree. Oh, how irritating that was! That happened for 2 winters, but when the 3rd winter came, the tree was so tall that the hare had to turn aside and hop around it. "Oh, to grow, to get older and taller," the little tree thought. "That is the most wonderful thing in this world." In the autumn, woodcutters came and cut down a few of the largest trees. This happened every year. The young fir was no longer a baby tree, and it trembled to see how those stately great trees crashed to the ground, how their limbs were lopped off, and how lean they looked as the naked trunks were loaded into carts. It could hardly recognize the trees it had known when the horses pulled them out of the woods. Where were they going? What would become of them? In the springtime, when swallows and storks came back, the tree asked them, "Do you know where the other trees went? Have you met them?" The swallows knew nothing about it, but the stork looked thoughtful and nodded his head. "Yes, I think I met them," he said. "On my way from Egypt, I met many new ships, and some had tall, stately masts. They may well have been the trees you mean, for I remember the smell of fir. They wanted to be remembered to you." "Oh, I wish I were old enough to travel on the sea. Please, tell me what it really is and how it looks." "That would take too long to tell," said the stork, and off he strode. "Rejoice in your youth," said the sunbeams. "Take pride in your growing strength and in the stir of life within you." And the wind kissed the tree, and the dew wept over it, for the tree was young and without understanding. When Christmas came near, many young trees were cut down. Some were not even as old or as tall as this fir tree of ours, who was in such a hurry and fret to go traveling. These young trees, which were always the handsomest ones, had their branches left on them when they were loaded on carts, and the horses drew them out of the woods. "Where can they be going?" the fir tree wondered. "They're no taller than I am. One was really much smaller than I am. And why are they allowed to keep all their branches? Where can they be going?"
We know," the sparrows chirped. "We've been to town and peeped in the windows. We know where they're going. The greatest splendor and glory you can imagine waits them. We've peeped through windows. We've seen them planted right in the middle of a warm room and decked out with the most splendid things, gold apples, good gingerbread, gay toys, and many hundreds of candles."
"And then?" asked the fir tree, trembling in every twig. "And then? What happens then?"
"We saw nothing more, and never have we seen anything that could match it."
"I wonder if I was created for such a glorious future," the fir tree rejoiced. "Why, that is better than to cross the sea. I'm tormented with longing. Oh, if Christmas would only come! I'm just as tall and grown up as the trees they chose last year. How I wish I were already in the cart, on my way to the warm room where there's so much splendor and glory. Then something even better, something still more important is bound to happen. Or why should they deck me so fine? Yes, there must be something still grander. But what? Oh, how I long. I don't know what's the matter with me. Enjoy us."